This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Tonight we're diving into a topic that's everywhere right now: attachment styles. You've probably seen the term anxious, avoidant or secure all over social media, especially when it comes to dating and breakups. But beyond the buzzwords, what do they actually mean and how much do they really shape the way we love, we connect and cope with heartbreak? To help us unpack all of this, I'm joined by Ali Webb, a counsellor and psychotherapist who works closely with people navigating relationships, dating patterns and emotional wounds. Ali, thanks so much for joining me on iRadio's group chat. We're talking all about attachment styles, and this term gets thrown around a lot on social media. In simple terms, what exactly are attachment styles?
So yeah, like, it seems to really kind of like there's a driving force behind attachment styles at the moment. It's kind of come out of nowhere over the last year or two. But to be honest, attachment styles have been around for, God, about 40, 50 years. Like, so really what it is are like three basic attachment styles are your secure attachment, your anxious attachment, and your avoidant. So what those look like is somebody with a secure attachment, which actually is about 50% of people. So you'd be very comfortable with intimacy, but you'd also be quite independent as well. So kind of all of the basics. Your anxious attachment style then is going to be someone who needs a lot of reassurance, fears abandonment, and overanalyzes everything, really. And then avoidance. So they'd kind of really value independence. They'd struggle with vulnerability, people that struggle with maybe the big talk and things like that. And they can tend to pull away when things get too close.
Can you be a mixture of all of them, or do you have to fit into one or the other box?
Totally. Like, there's lots of different like abbreviations of it as well. So you can be like an anxious avoidant, a fearful avoidant. There's loads of different words. I would say, like, and this would be personally from working with clients, I would feel we can change attachment style a lot of the time. And sometimes I think with partners, like specifically, they can bring out different attachment styles in us. So maybe it mirrors something like, maybe you might have a boyfriend who has very similar traits to maybe a caregiver, and maybe you might dip back into that type of attachment style. So yeah, totally, I think you can change.
When we're talking specifically about dating, what are some early behaviours in dating that might hint at someone's attachment style before the feelings really start to deepen for people?
Yeah, totally. So like, I would say your anxious attachment style people are kind of the people that text a lot. Like, I'm talking about 24 hours a day kind of thing. Probably overanalyze text messages as well. Like, if they're given an okay, like just a K or something like that, it's like an absolute nightmare. And they kind of need a lot of reassuring. So like, needing the other person to validate them, needing them to say like, oh, I do really like you, and probably saying it too much. Your avoidance then, on the other hand, so there are going to be people that, you know, maybe kind of have the phrase of like, oh, I need a lot of space, you know, and space is okay, but maybe this might be kind of something constant. Like if there's kind of big talks happening, or maybe there's an argument, they cut off contact completely.
The big question I think that a lot of people would ask, why do people tend to be magnetically drawn to people who have an incompatible attachment style and end up triggering us emotionally? I think I hear an awful lot about that. And it's definitely a curious one, if we are all kind of, you know, noticing these red flags and things and things that we're not compatible with.
Totally. And like, you're so right. It's as if like anxious attachment styles are like magnetically attached, like magnetically attracted to avoidance, and vice versa. And I suppose what that comes back to is, again, like, our attachment styles are formed like very early on in infancy. So like, if you had an anxious attachment style, you probably had a caregiver that maybe wasn't always able to meet your needs, and maybe it was very unpredictable. So maybe one day you cried, like say if you needed a bottle, and they came straight away and they comforted you. Maybe the next day it wasn't quite like that, and you cried for quite a long time. So therefore, an avoidant is going to be very comfortable for you, even though it's, you know, makes you so anxious and things like that, but it's what you're used to. And then I feel with avoidance tend to go towards anxious attachments because, you know, they tend to jump kind of from relationship to relationship. So it's very easy, I suppose, to kind of hook in an anxious attachment as opposed to somebody that's more secure.
If you know what your attachment style is and your partner's, does that help improve things in a relationship?
Absolutely. I think like awareness of it is huge. So like even just a small thing of being able to catch yourself in those moments and saying, okay, like I'm feeling really anxious right now. This is something to do with my attachment style. Even just that can be huge. And being able to communicate, but also being able to understand maybe where the other partner is coming from.
If people are listening this evening thinking, oh God, that's me, to whatever one you've mentioned there, you know, are they the worst things in the whole world? Are they things that you can learn to cope with quite well, even if you don't necessarily transform out of them or change them or alter them? Are they things you can learn to just face, like any type of condition or mental health issue or anything?
Absolutely, totally. Like, you know, with a bit of work and even just kind of the acknowledging of kind of your attachment style, as I said, is huge. But also, I would be a big believer in like if an anxious or an avoidant person, you know, met someone maybe with a more secure attachment, they will tend to kind of fall a bit more into that secure attachment style because there's consistency there.
When it comes to the end of a relationship, you know, particularly if it's a situation where, you know, it's a breakup and perhaps there's a lot of upset feelings and very heartbroken people left behind, does the speed at which someone moves on actually tell you anything about an attachment style, or is it more complicated than that?
I suppose, like, can't generalize on everyone because there can be different, but I suppose when we're looking at it from an attachment lens, I suppose our avoidance, you know, we've all had friends or even ourselves that have been in relationships and 2 weeks later you see on Instagram that your ex is off with somebody else or on a date or something like that. And I suppose for anybody out there that is feeling absolutely devastated by that, it's more about the person using it as a defense mechanism and kind of not actually dealing with the processing of the feelings of the relationship. And I think why that can hurt so much, you know, for anxious people or avoidant people, that kind of core wound is that feeling of not feeling enough. So that's why that hurts so much.
I can imagine that that would all feed into it as well. And let's face it, we all know stories like that, whether it's happened to yourself or your friend or your friend's friend. It seems to be the worst thing ever when you see them off with someone else on Instagram. And it's very common. It is very common, in fairness. But if someone recognises themselves and the pattern that they're in, whether that is a anxious or avoidant, you know, state, what is one small step that they can take to start changing it ever so slowly themselves if they're really not happy with that type of attachment style that they feel they have?
Totally. Like, I suppose it would be different for each attachment style. Like a lot of my clients, you know, with kind of more anxious attachment style, the first thing I recommend to them is put the phone away. Something really as simple as that. Like, you should not be talking to anybody for 24 hours a day, do you know? So even that small step can be huge. Somebody then that's more avoidant, I suppose for both really, it's trying to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. So like sitting with it just a little longer each time, do you know?
Sitting with the uncertainty, that's a big thing that you hear being thrown around, and it seems to be the key to so much. I didn't even realise that they would fit in, I suppose, to something like this. Yeah. On a scientific level, actually, you know, I'm not sure, does this go beyond anyone's expertise? These are obviously linked back to things that happen in your early childhood. Is that where we're really going with this? So can you often, when you are speaking to people who may have anxious or avoidant or even secure attachment styles, can you generally pinpoint exactly why they're like that?
You tend to. Now, some of it is going to be like pre-verbal, so before even like memories are forming. We're talking about real early infancy here. So like that kind of first year of your life even can really impact this. And what I tend to explain to clients is that just imagine how much you learned in those first couple of years. You learned to walk, you learned to talk, you learned everything. So like even your attachment and your behavior, you were learning all that at the same time. And it can take a lot of time to, you know, change that a little bit, because it's something that at one time didn't even have words. So it makes it that extra bit complicated, but not impossible.
It seems quite an instinctual thing that you develop, for sure. If there is one message that you'd like listeners to hear this evening, if they're maybe going through their own heartbreak in some capacity, or they're concerned about attachment styles and things like that, what would it be?
I would just say that, you know, you're enough. Like, you're enough as you are. Just because a relationship doesn't work out, you know, it isn't a reflection on you as a human being or as a person. So just to be really kind to yourself, to be honest.
I like that. I think being kind to yourself is the best piece of advice you can give to anyone in any situation. So Ali, I really, really appreciate you joining us this evening on iRadio's Group Chat. If people want to follow along with you, where can they find you on social media?
Yes, yeah, so they can find me on TikTok and Instagram. It's Ali Webb Counselling.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on Between the Sheets this evening, and I'm sure we'll chat again.
Thank you so much, Valerie.
This is iRadio's Group Chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.